it slowly. First thing, Chinese. Verses 31 through 35. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Amen. Read in Thai. Verses 48 through 51. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank and praise the Lord. This morning, we fellowship concerning the offerings. We all need to remember in order to worship the Father in the New Testament age today. Each one of us need to bring spiritual sacrifices to offer up to the Father. Besides, 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us these spiritual sacrifices are through Jesus Christ. Meaning to say, these spiritual sacrifices are the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, in Hebrews it says, burnt offerings and sin offerings I have no pleasure in them. And according to the context, it means that those bullocks, the sheep, and the goats of the New Testament, Old Testament age, God no longer wants them. Because the blood that was shed through those sacrifices cannot cleanse our sins.
But
some people say, oh, you see, that's in chapter 10 or 5. You see, God doesn't want the offerings anymore. This is a very superficial and very loose way of understanding the Bible. Because in the Word, Paul very specifically explained why God no longer wanted those kind of offerings. He says, behold, I have come. As the scripture says, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. You have prepared a body for me. And this body replaced all the cattle, the sheep, and the goats as well. That is why today we still have offerings, but it's no longer bringing bull, oxen, sheep. Thank and praise the Lord. But Christ is the reality of all these offerings. Today, our burnt offering is Christ. Our meal offering is also Christ. Christ is also our peace. Peace is not just, oh, I am reconciled to you, and so if I don't like you, I'll just fight with you, and we go part our ways. I might bite you, and you might bite me back. And then we end up fighting. This is very shameful. Christians often fight with one another. Why? Because they do not know that Christ is our peace. That is why people talk about oneness. People talk about oneness, yet it doesn't work. Perhaps it works for a couple of years. And as time goes by, it doesn't work anymore. They'll be divided again, and there'll be fightings again. And again, there'll be no way for them to remain in one. It's unfortunate that the Christians are divided over and over again. And they're divided so many, many times. The Bible specifically says that Christ is our peace, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, we know the doctrine. But if you really want to experience Christ as the reality of this peace, in Leviticus chapter 3, it speaks of Christ as our peace offering. In the Chinese translation, it says to have peace and rest. That means everything is okay. But being reconciled, being in harmony, is another matter. All the nations of the world are fighting with one another every day. They're arguing. Even the United Nations should not be called the United Nations. They should be called the arguing nations, because they're fighting with one another every day. There is no peace. That kind of oneness is political, and they have their own agenda. Our Lord is our peace. There is no hidden agenda at all. It's pure. That is why there is a peace offering in the Bible. We'll come back to share about this. Now we want to share concerning the meal offering. The meal offering points to the humanity of Christ. The Gospel of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Because the Word of God is just God Himself. The words that you speak, that's you yourself. It's not just that your mouth is speaking and it has nothing to do with you. Whatever your person is thinking within you, it's expressed in your speaking. And the Gospel of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word is God. But if it's only the Word of God, yet you cannot see God. That's why in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. This is very precious. God Himself became a man. Jesus Christ was God to begin with. But it's very amazing how the Bible says He's the Son of God. Actually, the Son of God is just the God Himself. It's Himself. But of course, there's more to it. He came to be a man. It's not a simple thing. Do not think that it's a very simple thing for God to become man. It's not simple at all. Let me ask you. If you have the chance to turn into a dog, would you be willing to do so? Of course not. You are a man. You are of a higher class. And a dog is lowly. Now God is glorious. We, mankind, are fallen and corrupt, and because we were deceived by Satan, and sin entered into us. Now this glorious and holy God, he puts on humanity. He came to be a man. Tell me, is that a simple thing? Would you be willing to do so? That is why the Bible says he was willing to lower himself. This lowering of oneself cannot be done by man. We fight with one another. The reason we fight is because you're not willing to lower yourself. A husband fighting with a wife, nobody wants to surrender. The wife surrenders. The wife does not surrender, neither does the husband. Now tell me, what should be done? There's no willingness to lower. But our Lord Jesus came to be a man. Now you have to ask, why was he willing to become a man? Is it just in order to die in your stead? Because we often say that he came to be a man, to die for us, to give me the forgiveness of sins, so that I can be saved and not be condemned and not go into eternal damnation. Is that right? Is this your gospel? That's right. But that's not the only thing. You have to know one thing. In God's plan, mankind is too important. That is why the old serpent injected his sinful nature into us, so all men sinned, corrupted, fallen. Originally, man was created in the image of God and according to God's likeness in order to express God's glory so that God can enter into us and to be our light. So that we, mankind, can become God's children to rule over all things that God had created. This was man's destiny. It was glorious. But Satan, he had his devious plan. It's a devilish plan. So do not have any devious plan. Devious plans are no good. He attacked first, and he came into man. And he worked the sinful nature of the serpent into man. So sin entered in, and through sin, death entered into us. It's very problematic. So all men have sinned, right? We all have to admit we are all sinners. It seems that we're hopeless. But God had prepared things for us long time ago. God had his lamb. Peter said, the lamb was prepared before the foundation of the world. Our God is too wonderful. Even before he created the world, before man came into being. And at that time, even it was even before Satan's fall. But God, who is omnipotent, He knew what was going to happen. He knew all things. He's omniscient. And He said, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was prepared. That's what Peter said. Tell me, isn't God so wonderful? He came to be a man, to be the Lamb of God, to become a sin offering. Came to die on the cross in our stead. He was without sin, who died for us who are sinners. Because according to God's according to the law of God, Moses told us, if you sin, you should die. That's why the Chinese have such an expression. You deserve it. You deserve to die. But God, because of His love for us, then first of all, you have to ask Him, why does He love you? Are you so lovable that He'd love you? I don't notice that I'm so lovable. It's not because we're lovable, but it's because when God created man, He had His plan. Besides, He wanted to gain many children among mankind. He also wanted to become our Father. Become our Father. That is why before the foundation of the world, God has already chosen us to give us, to make us Himself, to give us the sonship. So He had His plan in love, and He would not give up His plan so quickly. So when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He wanted to recover humanity. Because man, in God's plan, man is too important. That is why the Bible says He died on the cross. And He nailed the old man with Him to the cross. And when He resurrected, He created a new man, a new mankind, a new humanity. This is the real purpose. He came to be the sin offering to deal with the negative. But His purpose was to create a glorious new man, a new humanity. Why do I have to say this? Because this meal offering is specifically referring to the perfect humanity of Christ who came to replace a fallen humanity. That is why in John chapter 6 it says, I am the bread from heaven. It's for you to eat. Thank the Lord. The Lord Jesus used the history of the children of Israel eating manna in the wilderness to compare Himself to the bread that came down from heaven. Oftentimes, we admire and we appreciate the Lord Jesus as God. Now, but do you appreciate the humanity of our Lord Jesus? I've got to ask you again. Is his divinity important or is his humanity more important? Oftentimes, when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he wasn't declaring with a loud voice that he's the Son of God. Because he came to be a man, he didn't come to be God. Of course, he was still God. But he came in the status of a man to this earth. Besides, it's in the status of a man that he defeated Satan. If he had defeated Satan in his status as God, he could have done it with one breath. And Satan would be gone. That's quick. Just like an ant would want to fight with you. Would you fight with an ant? You would laugh. An ant wants to fight with me? I just press on it and it's over. But in God's plan, he wanted to use us to defeat the power of darkness. That is why he came to be a man. This is already told us a long time ago in Genesis chapter 3. It's the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. That is why the Lord Jesus had to become a man to accomplish this work. Besides, it's in his status as a man, not only to defeat Satan, but to bring forth a new man. That is why the Bible tells us that we should put off the old man and put on Christ, put on the new man. It's very strange that Christians do not understand this. After being saved, we're still living in this old man. That is why it's such a mess. It's very confusing today. Why? It's because we do not understand that we need to enjoy the humanity of Christ to replace our fallen humanity. I need to put off the old man. Now tell me, how are you going to put him off? You have to know this meal offering. You need to prepare this meal offering daily. The meal offering is made of this fine flour. Do not forget John 11, 24, where the Lord Jesus said, a grain of wheat needs to die. He has to fall to the ground and die. So that many, many grains of wheat will come forth. The fine flour is comes from this grain being ground. It shows the humanity of our Lord Jesus. It's holy and it's fine. My humanity is rough. It's rough. My humanity is rough. Do not think that we Chinese are very polite. Aren't they very polite? It looks like it, apparently. But if we get angry, we're very fierce. When nothing is wrong, we look very courteous. But when we get fierce, he'll swallow you up, he'll devour you, might even kill you. He would betray you and scold you. That is why fallen men, the Bible says that we have become a generation of vipers because the serpent came into us. That is why what we express is like that poisonous serpent. That is why the Chinese sometimes say that you've got the devil in your heart. It's quite meaningful. Oh, they have a demon in your heart. He says they don't believe in God, yet they say that you've got a demon in your heart. What the devil are you doing? It's not what you are doing, but actually the devil that's messing around within you. That is why it can kill, it can steal, and scold. It can be unrighteous, and they're fallen and corrupt. Does that look like God? Or does it look like the devil? So, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. The Lord prepared for us food from heaven, gave us to eat. John says, the Lord Jesus said, he who eats me shall live by me, or through me. Meaning to say, after you take him into you, you eat him into you, and you're able to live him out. Otherwise, what you live out is your flesh, and that's very dreadful. But now, the Lord Jesus came into you, and he became your life. You will be able to live him out. His humanity becomes our humanity. This is very important. But you need to learn to enjoy and to eat the Lord. Now let's come to take a look at the meal offering. First of all, it's a fine flour. Look at the Lord Jesus when he lived on this earth. He was so fine in every aspect. Whether it was towards the sinners, or towards the Pharisees, or towards his own disciples, his humanity was so gentle, so fine. Besides, he is our righteousness. He is very just. And on the other hand, he is full of mercy.
Right.
Besides, he was very compassionate towards men. because he came to save us. The Son of Man did not come to condemn you. And how about us Christians? We condemn people. We can preach the gospel to save people, but in the church, we condemn the brothers and sisters a lot. You save them out of the world and you brought them into the church, and in the church you condemn them. It's dreadful. Because there's something wrong with our humanity. We do not know how to enjoy Christ as our offering. What is hidden in the humanity of Christ is all the hidden treasures. There is no blemish in his humanity. Besides, he is without sin. He is sinless. That is why in this meal offering, there cannot be even a tiny bit of leaven. There's no leaven. In the Bible, leaven is never positive. It's always negative. There's a leaven of the Pharisees. There's a religious leaven. There's a leaven of hypocrisy. There's a leaven of sin, of malice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says you have to purge out the leaven. It's malice and evil. Don't you have these things in you? Do you cheat or deceive others? Are you very cunning? Crooked? Crooked? Like a snake? With all types and kinds of leaven. Then, what should we do? Tell me. Why is it so difficult to build the church today? Is it that we have the wrong method? Or the way we do things is not right? What is the problem? Your humanity is wrong, and my humanity is wrong. Our person is wrong. When my person is wrong, all the things that I do are wrong. That is why if we do not enjoy the humanity of Christ, there's no way for God to work on us. No matter how capable you are, can you build up the church? We all need to know the Lord. But in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, sin is not in him. In 1 John, it tells us, and Peter also tells us, He was without sin. And the book of Hebrews also tells us he was tempted in all ways, but without sin. He overcame sin. He had no leaven in him. You did not see the Lord Jesus being hypocritical, being so false, so fake, but he's righteous. He is holy. Besides, his character was perfect. He's humble. He was not proud. You did not see any pride in the Lord Jesus. He was full of patience. His disciples made so many mistakes. And in the end, everybody ran away. If your employees, you are the boss, and all your employees would run away, would you get angry? Of course. Would you call them back to be your employees again? No, you would say, forget it. Forget it. We are just like that. And the brothers and sisters do not agree with you, you say, just go away. We are like this. Then how can we accomplish God's will? Because our person is wrong. Our humanity does not work. Our humanity does not work. When we talk about our fallen humanity, there's no end to it. And there's jealousy. Have you ever seen the Lord Jesus being jealous? In the four Gospels, do you see that the Lord Jesus was jealous? Well, the Pharisees were envious or jealous of the Lord Jesus. The priests were jealous of him. Oh, behold, all the people are going with him. What about us? What's going to happen to us? There's a very strong envy in them. Do not think that jealousy is a small thing. That is why, brothers and sisters, if you know this, then we can begin to appreciate the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm speaking too fast. We don't have much time. We'll be finished tomorrow with a conference. So, brothers and sisters, the second offering that God wants us to enjoy and prepare for us to bring to Him and to bring the reality that we have experienced to bring to God. The second one of these is the meal offering. This meal offering is a fine flour. Secondly, there's no leaven. Thirdly, there's no honey. In the Bible, there's a positive aspect to honey, but there's also a negative aspect as well. And in the negative aspect, it says that in the meal offering there can be no honey. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, He never used a human natural sweetness to have you cling on to him. I am very sweet, so I just have this brother stick to me. He becomes my buddy, my good friend. In the end, if I am wrong, he's still very six with me. If that's the case, the church is finished. The Lord Jesus is not like that. He did not use his natural power to attract people to himself. You remember there was a rich young man. He came to see the Lord Jesus. It wasn't a poor man, it was a rich man. Because he was a very rich man, he came to look for the Lord Jesus. And he said, what do I have to do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? So you have to do what Moses said. He said, I've done it all. The Lord Jesus said, oh, you're quite lovable. It's such a good young man. Actually, who in the world can do all that Moses commanded? Since he said that, the Lord Jesus did not say, you're lying. If it were up to me, I would have said that you're lying there. It would scare him away. The Lord Jesus said, okay, why don't you go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me? When he heard this, did he go sell everything? He went away because he was too rich. You know, if you're not rich, you have no money, that's very easy for you to sell everything. But if you're a billionaire, you can't do that. You won't be able to do so. So he went away. If it were you, if you were Jesus, oh, this millionaire is going to run away. Would you let him go run away? If you were a pastor, do you want a millionaire to go away? Would you do that? I said, no. Oh, you misunderstood me. Did the Lord Jesus do that? He wanted to go. The Lord Jesus let him go. The Lord Jesus said one thing. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. He does not force anyone. He had no need to do that. We try to pull people in as much as we can. And we use all types and kinds of honey to attract people. Besides, we cause people to stick to us. The humanity of the Lord Jesus has no leaven and no honey. Besides, when it's offered up, it had to be seasoned with salt.
Seasoned.
The Bible uses the word seasoned. It's mixed with salt. Why? Because it has to release the flavor of God. If you make chicken soup and you don't put any salt in, the flavor doesn't really come out. It's kind of bland. You won't want to drink it. But don't make it too salty either, because if it's too salty, it'll be hard to take. It's just right. It just brings out the flavor. The humanity of the Lord Jesus, no matter where he went, everybody could taste the flavor of God in him. How about us? What can man see? I don't dare to say. Everyone would be embarrassed. That is why, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus can say, if you see me, you can see who? You can see the Father. But when people see us, who do they see? We don't dare to say, because we're too ashamed. Then what? There's the humanity of the Lord Jesus. It's mingled with the Holy Spirit. It's mingled with the pure olive oil. And only such a kind of fine flour that can mingle with the Holy Spirit. But in our humanity, we oil cannot mingle with us. We may sing, "Fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord." Yeah, it will come from above us and it will flow right out. It's only the fine flour that can absorb this oil into it. If you have so many grains of wheat, you pour oil from the top and you just flow right out from the bottom. You cannot retain that oil. But the humanity of our Lord Jesus is easily mingled with the Holy Spirit because it's a fine flower. Our humanity is very rough. Cannot be mingled. That is why we need to eat a different kind of humanity. For the Lord Jesus Christ to be our food. And the last point, in order to offer up this fine flour, the meal offering, you have to add in the frankincense. And the frankincense refers to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Why? Because when sin entered in, death came along. So in the fallen man, is full of death. That is why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, we who are living are dead in sin and trespasses. We're dead. That is why we fallen men are not able to touch God. There's no sensation. You talk to them about God. You would say, I don't understand what you're talking about. You talk to them about spiritual things. They cannot understand it. They cannot touch it. Why? Because death is reigning in our flesh. That is why the humanity of the Lord Jesus is resurrection power. You have to understand and know how to enjoy this humanity. Besides, in our daily living, in our family, in our dealings with all kinds of people, in our dealings with the saints in the church, you have to learn not to live by your humanity. Simply said, just as Paul said, it's no longer an old man has been crucified with the Lord. He said he wants to live this Christ. He wanted to magnify Christ. How about us? We just want to show off ourselves. All of us want to just show off ourselves, but Paul is
not.
But in order to magnify Christ, we need to eat of the food that came down from heaven daily. You eat every day, right? We've been living here, we've got three meals a day. If we can eat the Lord and eat the bread from heaven each day, you won't be not living Christ. You would live Christ out. This is the meal offering. You have to experience the humanity of Christ in a good way. And you offer up this real humanity to the Father. That is why, brothers and sisters, meal offering is very important. The first foremost importance is the burnt offering. Because we live not for our work or for anything else. We live for God because God created man for himself. A fallen man is for oneself and became selfish. Everything is I, me, and myself. Myself, it's all is I, me, and myself. If we let go of this, what can we gain? It seems like we're for the Lord, but we're asking, what can I gain? What do you want to gain? You want to gain the reward? I tell the Lord, I'm not worthy of the reward. It's not that the reward is no good. I don't think that I qualify for any reward. As long as I'm not rejected, that's good enough. As long as he does not reject us, that's already good enough. Why do we have to think of any reward? Right? That's why the meal offering is second.
Enough salt.
This sequence is ordained by God. This arrangement of these operations is according to importance. It's an order of importance, and it's not according to our need, but it's according to God's need. It's not according to man's need. If it's according to man's need, it will be turned the other way around. First, the sin offering and the trespass offering. The trespass offering and the sin offering. But the offerings are not for us, but for him. It's to satisfy the Father's heart's desire.
很奇妙的，燔祭是完全为着神的，整条牛。
The burnt offering is fully for God. The whole ox, the full is burnt up. All the priests makes the offering gets the skin of the animal. But for the real offering, God only wants a handful. And that part is burnt with fire and offered to him. The rest is for the priest to eat. Because this humanity is what we need. It's quite meaningful. May the Lord open our eyes. As to the rest, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering are easier to understand. But you have to know one point. 1 more minute.
赎罪祭是要把我们从罪跟死亡的掌权。The
sin offering is there to save us out of the dominion of sin and death. It's to deal with the root of sin. Just like Paul said, the old man has been crucified. So that the body of sin would stop. So that sin could no longer have dominion over us. And death cannot have dominion over us either. To save us out of the law of sin and death, to liberate us. Many Christians can only say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Cleanse me with your precious blood. But you are still under the dominion of sin. You're still, your sin is still reigning. You still are a slave to sin. That's wrong. That's wrong. That is why we have a sin offering. That would redeem us out of the power of sin, out of the slavery of sin. So that we no longer would be under the dominion of sin and death. This is the sin offering. Thank the Lord. We'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow we have to take the express train again. But these two offerings are very important. Because it is not in man's concept.
Amen.
May the Lord open up our enlighten us spiritually. And may the Holy Spirit, the anointing, teach us how to prepare these offerings. Amen. We're punctual today. Let's have some prayer.